FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's May 31st, 2017. Five down, seven to go. We're almost halfway there. Is it sell in May and go away, or just go away in May and forget the world? Well, Captain Capitalism, also known as Aaron Clary, is with us now. Welcome back, Aaron.
Hello, how are you?
All right. So, hey, you know, I hear rumors that all you do is sleep till noon and you just hang out all day and the passive income just rolls in. But
falls on the sky, yeah, manna from heaven.
Right. But while you were sleeping, you got a new book out. So you have ghostwriters on your staff, too. So
yeah,
it doesn't interrupt
your
sleep.
But I tell you, Kerry, and for all the problems this economy has, one of the great things, one of the great opportunities for anybody alive today, especially the younger ones, is that you can work from home because of telecommuting or any white collar job. I claim it to this day. If we want to get rid of rush hour and commutes and cut our transportation budget, not to mention you want to have happier families, lower divorce, and have someone be able to stay home and raise the kids, you should just be able to telecommute. Companies should be pushing that. And I try and explain to my friends, no, I don't just sleep in till noon, and no, I don't just play video games. Like, there is actual work. I actually do produce GDP while I'm at home, while I work. Yeah, so I did happen to bang out a book on my own, no ghostwriters, an essay, really. I don't dare call it a book, but it's called Poor Richard's Retirement. It's about 130 pages, a short read. But yes, that's what I did in my sleep while telecommuting from home.
You're pretty good, man. You could do all that in your sleep. Well, I have to say, workplaces are adapting to the new paradigm. Both of my daughters, they're expected to be in their office regularly, but they are allowed to stay home as long as they get the work done. Their presence isn't usually needed there unless there's a meeting or something going on. But most of the time they are at work. Whether it's necessary or not, I don't know, but that seems to keep their time occupied. But
there's good news. I saw somewhere with something like 20% of office workers are now working from home. And that's in spite of Yahoo.
Really?
Was it Marissa Myers telling them they reneged on the telecommuting deal? IBM just recently reneged on some people who've been working a decade away from home. But I think, not to be ageist, but I think as the baby boomer generation is starting to retire and that old guard is going away, and how if I can't tell if you're working, if I can't see you, that kind of thing. Now, people who grew up with the internet or at least had it in college, you know, older Gen Xers, now it's kind of like, yeah, you know, and who wants to pay office expense, frankly? Who wants to pay for an office building?
Yeah, that's a valid point. And there was just an amazing article I was reading in National Review Online about the fast and furious demise of retailing in the U.S. And 10% of all the jobs in the country are retail, and like things like groceries, I don't think are going away. Grocery stores, supermarkets, probably among the lowest paying jobs in the country. But those, they talk about a couple of chains that we all knew and loved when we were growing up. One was had this funky clothing. It was called Chess King. I don't know if you had it in Minnesota or if it's before your time, but it was like a hysterical store that probably had no reason to ever exist other than oversupply of retail. And it was, you know, it was big in the 80s. They just had this ridiculous looking clothing. And then they're talking about other chains like Circuit City and the way they all just kind of disappear. And you got all these malls that are just crumbling. And the amazing thing is, if you ever saw that movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Sean Penn and Judge Reinhold and Jennifer Jason Leigh. I mean, it was a great movie in 1982. It took place in a mall in the valley in California. And that mall also had its demise, but the property was so valuable in that area that they were able to convert much of it to office space. And the cinema is still in that mall, but the mall itself doesn't exist. So all these changes happening, and I guess the concept of retirement has changed as well.
Yeah, they. It all depends. Well, not only has the concept of retirement changed, it's going to have to change for most people because no one saved up enough for retirement. This latest essay I put together doing the research for it, I kind of knew in the back of my head how bad it was. But until I looked up the figures, I'm like, wow, it's dark. It's dire. Basically, the only people who are adequately prepared for retirement is about 15% of the baby boomers and nobody else. The millennials are too busy paying off of college. Gen X is now having kids and maybe just getting out of debt from their college loans, but now they've settled themselves with mortgages. And the baby boomers, only 15% have $500,000 or more saved up. And so the remaining 85% are just going to have to work. This magic number, there's a line in the sand called 65, 62 if you're lucky. And if you cross it, everything's roses after that. That is no longer true. The vast majority of people are going to have to work past the magical age of retirement of 65. And so what I've advocated in this essay, among many other things, is that rather than the retirement industry is focusing on you need to save up enough for retirement. They focus on your income. They focus on your nest egg. And I said, this is how much you need to save up. And then I asked the simple question, isn't there another side of this formula where it's how much do you spend? And I kind of got the idea. I teach these online classes on finance and investing in retirement. And I have people introduce themselves. And one of the things I have them do is go through an online calculator to calculate what they're going to need to save for retirement. So when I first started doing this, people are coming in, well, I need $1.5 million. I need $2 million. This is in today's dollars. And the inflation warps this over the course of 30, 40 years that you save for retirement. I'm like, how do you need $2 million to that? I say, what are your assumptions? And these people are assuming, well, I'm going to spend 70 grand a year. I'm going to spend 80 grand a year after retiring. And I'm like, I've never spent 80 grand. Where are you coming up with this? So the other side is spending. I said, well, if you whittle this down, if you apply minimalism and frugality, and you don't get the house with the countertops, and you don't get that brand new car every 2 years, it is amazing how little you need for retirement. And by my estimation, I conservatively estimate that pretty much anybody can retire, except for those like physically disabled mentally disabled. Like we're talking pretty much anyone, lower middle income and up, can retire, because I think pretty much anyone, by my mathematical calculations, can save up $200,000 in an IRA or a 401k.
Absolutely. No question about it. And that's assuming that things continue on the way they're going, but things could change here. Standards of living could go way down. I mean, how do we figure this stuff out, Aaron?
Well, the one thing you accept what you do and do not control. We don't control the stock market. We're not going to control prices. But what you can do is react to it. So again, this is where traditional basic financial planning still does have merit. You know, have a diversified portfolio, have some precious metals. I recommend having 200 ounces per person of silver, but you know, different people have different metrics. Some people recommend Bitcoin. Other people recommend having invested in commodity like index funds. You know, like you invest in oil stocks, you invest in mining stocks. But the other key thing that is in your control is that spending. And so once you get down, you know, if you assume you don't have a mortgage, you assume you don't have to pay for no more kids, and all you have is food, clothing, and shelter, or not even shelter, just taxes and insurance. You have a modest house. You don't have this 5-bedroom palatial estate as an empty nester. You just get a small condo or a house here, and you're not living in San Francisco Francisco because you just love the culture. No, you can telecommute, you can do other things. Mm-hmm. You live in a modest home. You really only, you could get by easily on 15, 16 grand a year. And you're never going to be able to eliminate all risk. But if you invest in the right things to hedge against inflation and you minimize your expenditure so you don't need that much, that kind of whittles down the risk to the absolute minimum amount. And that's, you know, the Chinese could invade. There's some things you can't do. We elect President Obama. That you don't have under control. But to prepare, you know, you take defensive measures in your portfolio. You always keep working. That's another key aspect I could talk about later. But then you just do without. You get rid of the stuff you don't need, minimizing yourself, and you minimize your risk. And then that is the best anyone can hope for, pretty much regardless of where you're retiring or where you're living.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can't tell what the future is going to be. Obviously, the future is uncertain, as the man said, but you have to kind of do something, right? You have to make some decisions. You have to assume some things are going to be right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't, you know, at the end, I even have a segment. So it's like, oh, by the way, save for retirement. Don't just think like, oh, yeah, Social Security is going to be there. And oh, yeah, Medicare is going to be. No, you actually do have to save for retirement. So it's not like I'm disavowing 401ks or IRAs or other means to save, you know, buy some property, have some rental property, have your investments. But the key thing is you have to invest. You can't just, you know, get diversified. Don't just have all of your investments in real estate. Don't have all your money in the S&P 500 index. I know it's convenient. I know it's, you know, that's the way to go, but have a diversified portfolio and then just cut your spending. And that's going to do more than going down to your Charles Schwab or listening to your HR rep say, oh, you got to contribute another 400 to the 401k. And that's all good. That's all part of the plan. But that's not going to be enough. I think because spending is within people's control, that is where the future of retirement planning is going to be, because that's 100% under our control, whereas stock prices are not.
Yeah, of course. And what about Social Security? Should we count on any of it or discount it by 50%? What do you think is going to be the result there?
It depends on your age. Like if you're retired now, you know, if the checks ain't bouncing, sure. And then as you get younger, obviously the higher the risk that Social Security is not going to be there. It'll just be inflated away. I've done what numbers I have calculated, more I think about it. I'm actually a little bit more optimistic for Gen X that they might actually see a Social Security check, because for all the problems of the United States, there are some traits about the United States that I don't think the dollar is going to go away anytime soon. Any kind of rival to the reserve currency that the BRIC companies were kicking around, they either don't have the size of the economy that the U.S. does and therefore cannot actually have their currencies go in and be exchanged for goods in the case of a collapse like the United States. We're still about a third of the global GDP. China, for all of its physical production, which I do appreciate, it's corrupt beyond all measure. Russia, the same thing. Brazil, the same thing. There just isn't a rival today in the world that's going to rival the United States or the U.S. dollar. And so even though we have horrible fundamentals, we're pretty much the only game in town. Yeah, there are small little countries that have much better fundamentals. Chile, Switzerland, well, a lot of countries. Mexico has better fundamentals, for crying out loud. But they don't have the massive amount of production in GDP that the United States does. So it's not like Switzerland could say, oh, the Swiss franc, now that's the world's reserve currency. Because what if like just one-tenth of the people said, yeah, we want to go and actually get Swiss goods with this stuff? There's not that reservoir of economic production to, what would we say, validate it, back it up, much like a silver at the Federal Reserve would be able to back up currency. So I think going forward, you know, we're going to have to see what happens internationally and, you know, just how crazy we get with our debts and deficits. But I think if you're a baby boomer, you're going to be all right with Social Security. But if you're a Gen Xer, you could maybe assume 50 to 75%. I wouldn't, just err on the side of caution, because there is a chance it's not going to be there. And if you're a millennial, I think they're so busy digging out of the hole they and everybody else put them into, I don't think they're even going to have to worry about. They got bigger fish to fry, like finding jobs and getting out of debt before they even start worrying about Social Security.
Yeah, so for them, something will be done. The boomers I mean, I'm a boomer. I actually get to start collecting in 2 months, believe it or not, my survivor's benefits. I get survivor's benefits. It ain't going to be a whole heck of a lot, but, you know, the thing about Social Security is it's predictable income stream. I don't know what it's worth. That you can't predict, but you can predict that the checks are going to go out. All right. I don't think anything's changing that. So I figure my real retirement, when I actually get 100% of my Social Security benefits, will probably take place when I'm 70. So here, I just, from 60 to 70, they send me money every month. And that's the way you have to look at it, as part of the equation, not the solution, but just as an income stream. Look, what I talk about in my book, Viral Podcasting, the key to making money off of a website or a podcast, and you know this only too well, is multiple income streams. And the key to a successful, comfortable employment, retirement rather, not employment, anti-retirement, the key to a comfortable retirement is multiple income streams, wherever you get them from. And Social Security is one income stream that you can factor into the equation.
Right. And another stream that a lot of people don't think, this is another key aspect of this essay, is just sometimes don't retire. I know a lot of people, they're driving to retire. They can't stand their job. They put in their 35 years. They want their golden watch, whatever. But some studies, more and more of them coming out, where retirement is not good for your mental health, and oftentimes not good for your physical health.
I know,
because you need something to do.
God, yeah. I know this personally. I hang out with some guys who are like 10 to 15 years older than myself. The guys who work, even if it's only part-time, mentally, their acuity is much higher than the people who are retired. They're much better off. And I think that the people who retire age much faster, at least from what I've seen, much.
Yeah, and that's the saving grace, is like, you know, maybe you don't go and do a 45-minute commute one way every day and log in your 40 hours a week. But man, retirement is death. That's what I've been finding. You're going to need something to do, and especially men. Women do a little bit better under different studies, but all the statistics, depression, mental health, physical health, they all deteriorate after you retire. And I know some of that is age, of course, obviously, but if you can, and it only helps your retirement more by having that extra part-time income stream, but it gives you purpose, it gives you agency, it gives you a place to go. As much as you love wifey poo, you got to go talk to the guys and ladies. As much as you love husband poo, you got to go talk to the girls. But yeah, man, you cannot just sit there. I know the Viagra commercials all make it look like you're sitting on a beach and wearing Dockers and everyone's sipping wine and you just sit in a hammock. But even that will get boring after the first couple of days. So not retiring is a huge, not only financial benefit to retiring, but also mental and physical health benefit as well.
Not even a question about it. That's beyond question. I've seen it myself firsthand, and it made me realize I will always do something. I used to think, you know, when I really hated my job, what I was doing, that I would like to go and, you know, actually retire and just sit on a beach for the rest of my life. But I've realized that's never going to happen. I don't want it to happen. Work 3-4 days a week, 4 to 6 hours a day is plenty. And you can make a lot of money if you spend your time properly, allocate your resources properly.
If you've done it right, and this is another segment in the book that I targeted towards the younger-ish people, not necessarily, you know, young people, but younger-ish. Look, especially with the internet and today's technology, you should be able to have a side gig, a running side racket, that by the time you retire, you have, oh, I sell stuff on eBay, or I trade stocks. There should be some kind of entrepreneurial gig, maybe not a full-time something, but something that you do that's of an interest to you, that you also make money on the side, so that by the time you do quit your 9-to-5 job, you got this other stream of income that you could kind of pursue, you know, fixing guitars, even fixing cars, anything that you do as a side hobby. If you can start making money on it, or find a way to start extricating money from it over the course from 30 to 65, boom, then that's almost probably the win-win-win at the end once you cross 65.
Yeah. It's so true. And really, it's not hard to develop. I mean, everybody is doing it here. I mean, I'll just help people do podcasts or whatever is the next great thing after podcasting. That's the way I look at it. I mean, it's fun and it's good stuff. So, Aaron, the book, where do we find the book? Where do we find you? Best place to go?
As always, Amazon.com. Just look up Poor Richard's Retirement, just like Poor Richard's Almanac. It's got a picture of Benjamin Franklin, which is public domain, I found out. Amazon's available in paperback and Kindle. It should be coming out in audiobook relatively soon here. We uploaded the files a while ago, but it takes them a while to get back. And then if you just want to find my site, you can go to my flagship site, which is CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. I too have a podcast called The Clary Podcast. You can find that on SoundCloud. And then what else? Oh, and I have my little consulting thing. My retirement plan, my retirement revenue stream is my consulting company called A-Hole Consulting, but it's not spelled A-Hole.
It's spelled out.
You think it is spelled. Yeah, if you needed some kind of advice, financial, career, whatever, and yes, it is a real company. It's not a joke. It celebrated its third year
That's
of business
amazing.
Last month.
That's amazing. Business is good.
What's that?
Business is good.
Yeah, I just had my best 2 months ever in March and April.
There's no shortage of a-holes, right?
What?
There's no shortage of a-holes.
No, but that's one of the reasons I'm going to be able to pay off my house here pretty soon is because, business is booming. And you know, after we get off the phone, that's exactly what I got to go do is I got to go.
You do it all while you sleep, too. It's amazing.
And I do it while I sleep and I'm drunk and playing video games all at the same time. Yes,
what
I don't
life.
Do any work whatsoever.
I'm coming back as you, Aaron. And when I come back, I'm coming back as you. When you little feel like it, you get a little bored, you just go take a bike ride, on your bike.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, I go right around.
I mean, you can't beat that. That is wonderful. I love it. And I think it's a great thing. No, but seriously, you just can't do that. But you can have some fun. And really, that's what it's about. You got to have a fulfilling life that's fun. If you're not having fun, then you are doing something wrong. And that's the way I look at it,
Yeah.
No. I really do.
Yeah, you're gonna live the same, as long as you're not born in the abject poverty, you're going to live the exact same 79, 80 years as anybody else. And the question is, do you want to go have fun and experience life and enjoy other people? Or unfortunately, look at, not to besmirch the character, but look at what happened to Steve Jobs, billions of dollars, one of the richest men, and then boom, cancer gets them. So, you gotta have fun along the way too.
Hey, and I am reading a book, audiobook right now about Elon Musk. And, I've just gotten into it. I'm an hour into it and I'm hooked. He's the most, it's authorized, but it's not like sanitized. Most authorized bios are sanitized and it lies. But this one, no, because the author goes into the whole thing of getting it together with him and getting him to finally, submit to his terms. That's amazing. Really great. So highly recommended. Anyway, Aaron, that's it. Oh, questions, comments. KL@KerryLutz.com is the email to write to, or tweet us at Kerry Lutz or the Facebook page. We've got lots of humorous financial stories, and God, there's so many to go around. Plus, a lot of gator stories from Florida is Financial Survival Network. And hey, Aaron, it's a great catching up with you. We will talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
Always a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.